Psalm 23. Tell you why I say Psalm 23. I think more unsaved people are familiar with Psalm 23 because it gets used at nearly every funeral service. Matter of fact, I shared from it at Billy's memorial service. So what I'd like us to do tonight, I'd like us to read it, or if you know it, just quote it. Let's all say together Psalm 23. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you. God always blesses his word. A teacher was teaching a class of four-year-olds in Sunday school, and she asked the class, how many of you know the 23rd Psalm? If you do, please raise your hand. Because you ask a class of four-year-olds any question, how many will raise their hand? Every one of them, right? You ask adults and teenagers, they just look at you and blink. And so every hand went up. So she selected one cute little girl, said, dear, do you know the 23rd Psalm? Yes. Do you know all of it? Yes. Would you come up and say it in front of the class? Yes. She came, true story, by the way. She came up in front of the class. She took a bow. She said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. She took a bow. She went down and she sat down. I read that many years ago in the Daily Bread devotional booklet, and I thought, you know what? She said the 23rd Psalm. The Lord's your shepherd, it's all you want. You don't need anything else, right? So I found myself ever since when I'm quoting the Psalm, I end up saying, now tonight we were all saying it together, so I said, I shall not want, but I find myself saying, the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. So the title of our Bible message tonight, I'll give you three guesses, first two don't count, is simply, that's all I want. The key to Psalm 23 is the opening statement. The Lord is my shepherd. If you can claim the opening statement of Psalm 23, you can claim all the rest of the Psalm. Everything else there is yours. If you cannot claim the opening statement of Psalm 23, then you cannot claim the great truths of the 23rd Psalm. The definite article. Not a, not one of several, the. The Lord, capital L, proper noun, King of kings, Lord of lords. The Lord is, part of the verb to be, present tense. Not he was, not he shall be, the Lord is. The Lord is my personal pronoun. The Lord is my shepherd. I think that term shepherd, it's a common noun. I think that's one of the greatest titles in all the Word of God given to our Savior. A shepherd is one who cares. A shepherd is one who has the concern of the sheep at heart. Jesus said, I know my sheep. He said, I call my sheep by name. He said, my sheep also know the voice of the shepherd. And so that term shepherd is one of the greatest terms of our Lord. Matter of fact, in the New Testament, in John 10:11, Jesus speaking said, I am the blank shepherd. The blank shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Can one of you girls down here that sang tonight, can you fill in the word for me if I read that again, okay? I am the blank shepherd. Yes, you got it. I am the, put you right on the spot, didn't I, girls? By the way, I enjoyed your song, okay? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life. So as the good shepherd, Jesus laid down his life for the sheep. Now, in Hebrews 13:20, the Bible says, the God of peace who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that blank shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. So I'll just give the first part of that again, and if you know it, just fill in the blank for me. Now, the God of peace who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. That's it. So the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. But the great shepherd, He lives for the sheep. Why? He arose from the dead. The grave could not hold him. Now you go to 1 Peter 5:4. This may not be as familiar one as the other two. 1 Peter 5:4 says, "And when the blank shepherd shall appear." Somebody know that word? Chief. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear." So what do you have? You have three tenses, past, present, and future. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep, past tense. The great shepherd lives for the sheep, present tense. And the chief shepherd longs after the sheep, future tense. Matter of fact, in John 17, in his prayer just before the cross, Jesus said, "Father, I would that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am." I'm just glad tonight that God the Father is going to answer that prayer, aren't you? He said, "I want my sheep to be with me where I am." Now, Psalm 23 is actually a psalm that's part of a trilogy of psalms. And the trilogy is Psalm 22, 23, and 24. And in Psalm 22, 23, and 24, you have a beautiful picture of Jesus as the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. If you notice the opening words of Psalm 22, it says, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Now listen, who uttered those words in the New Testament and upon what occasion? Jesus on the cross. So hundreds of years before the cross, Psalm 22, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken?" That's a picture of the grace of God. That's the good shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. Now you come to Psalm 23, and we have the great shepherd, who is living for the sheep. So if you have the grace of God in Psalm 22, you have the goodness of God in Psalm 23. Then you come to Psalm 24, you get down along about verse 5, and it talks about the King of Glory. Then it says, from there on, who is this King of Glory? And then it says, "And the King of Glory shall come in." Then it says, "The Lord of hosts, he is the King of Glory." So what do you have? Psalm 22, you have the grace of God, the good shepherd. Psalm 23, you have the goodness of God, the great shepherd. Now in Psalm 24, you have the glory of God and the chief shepherd. So you've got past, present, and future. My wife and I, on two occasions, have had opportunity to have ministry in Australia, in Australia and New Zealand. Now, you're not in either country very long before something becomes very obvious and very clear to you, and it's this: they have a lot of sheep. Matter of fact, in New Zealand, they told us, they have 30 times more sheep than they do people. Now, my whole family, as I've already told you, were commercial fishermen, so we didn't catch very many sheep. So I don't know a lot about, you know, sheep and raising sheep. So we were, New Zealand, if you're not familiar with it, is two islands, the Northern Island, the Southern Island. Two main cities on the Northern Island are Auckland, Wellington, the capital city, and the main city on the Southern Island is Christchurch. We've had ministry on each, both of the islands. So we were ministering of the Northern Island, and ministering actually with a missionary couple from the state of Maine. And finished our meetings, and we had 3 days in between meetings, and so they told us about a tourist place. And so my wife and I made arrangements, took a bus trip from where we were in a place in ministry to this tourist town by the name of Rotorua. Actually, what it is, it's a place where the sulfur geysers come up out of the ground. And if you've ever smelled sulfur, a better name for the town would have been Stinkville. Matter of fact, I said to my wife, "I can't really believe we're paying for a hotel to smell this," but it was a beautiful area. So part of the tour was, one day we had a bus tour in that little city, and they took us to an actual operating sheep ranch. It was also a tourist attraction, but it was an actual operating ranch. So the first thing they did was they sheared a sheep. Well, I enjoyed that, because over the years as a preacher, I've enjoyed fleecing the sheep. And so it was a joy to watch him shear the sheep. And he explained several things to us about sheep. He said the basic needs of sheep are minimal. He said, really, if sheep have something to eat, some water to drink, and a place to lay down, they're basically content. He also said that sheep are basically stubborn. Well, thank the Lord, they're not like people in that regard, right? What's Isaiah 53, 6 say? All we like sheep have what? We've turned everyone to his own way, right? Then he had two sheepdogs there that day. One of those sheepdogs, whatever he told it, it would do it. The other sheepdog, no matter what he told it, it did just the opposite. And at the end of the presentation, he said, ladies and gentlemen, that's the last day for that dog. He said, that dog is untrainable. So then he took us out on the hillside, small hillside, and they had a sheepfold there. And he explained to us that at night the shepherd brings the sheep in off the hillside, brings them into the sheepfold. Then he opened up for questions, and one of the questions was, there's no gate, there's no door on the sheepfold. He said, that's an excellent question. He said, I am the gate, I am the door. He said, when the sheep are all safely within the fold at night, that's where I sleep. The shepherd lays across the opening. In order for a wild animal to get in, has to come over the shepherd. In order for a sheep to get out, has to go over the shepherd. Aren't you glad the Lord is my shepherd? And then there was a little stream flowing by, and he said sheep generally will not drink from rapidly flowing water. So he showed us where the shepherd had taken a few stones and made a little pool, and the sheep will drink from the still waters. Also showed us a little raised platform where they put the food up off the ground for the sheep to get it. They could also be up away from the crawling creatures, and they could see the wild animals coming, right? So Psalm 23, beautiful picture. The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. I want to give you one word for each of the six verses in Psalm 23, okay? One word for each of the six verses. And I love this clock since I fixed it on Sunday. And right now that clock says it is 13 minutes to 8 o'clock, okay? So I'll go by that clock and I'll be done by 9:30 by that clock, and it stops every 10 minutes, okay? Just want to keep you updated as we go. I don't want to make fun of your clock, Pastor, okay? No. So let's take a look at Psalm 23 under the heading, that's all I want. First word, possession, possession. The Lord is my shepherd. This possession is twofold. I am his and he is mine. Solomon said, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. My life is hid with God in Christ. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him. In Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ. Then Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Galatians 2:20, Christ liveth in me. So here's my possession. Christ lives in me. My life is hid with God in Christ. I'm in Christ, that's my position. Christ is in me, that's my possession. So I have a relationship with the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Second word. Second word is the word position. The one who possesses me positions me to meet my every need. Let me repeat that. The one who possesses me positions me to meet my every need. You remember I said the shepherd said the basic needs of sheep are minimal? Well, you know, the basic needs of humans are also minimal. Our wanters sometimes need repairing, but our basic needs are minimal. Matter of fact, you can take all of your needs tonight and all of mine, and you can put them in three categories. Those three categories are, number one, we all have physical needs or material needs. We all do. Number two, we all have emotional needs. We are emotional creatures, except in a Baptist church on Sunday morning. But other than that, we are emotional creatures. Now, number three, not only do we have physical material needs, not only do we have emotional needs, our greatest need is spiritual. So take a look at the scripture. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Those are my physical needs. My God shall supply what? All you need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You don't see the people of God that trust him going without. He meets our every need. God's sure been good to me. God been good to you? That's good, all three of you. Let's try that again. God been good to you? Okay, those are my physical needs, my material needs. Now, number two, he leads me beside the still waters. Those are my emotional needs. The Bible says the wicked are like the troubled sea, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. But the one who is my shepherd is able to bring us from the troubled waters and the tempestuous waters of this old world into the calm of the haven of rest. And I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. In the world you shall have tribulation, but cheer up. We sang it tonight. Cheer up, you saints of God, right? Okay. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Thirdly, I'll take one statement out of the next verse. He restoreth my soul. Those are my spiritual needs. Okay? Literal translation. He turns back my desires. The greatest need you have tonight and the greatest need I have is not physical, it's not material, it's not emotional, it's spiritual. And the only one who can change the heart, and by the way, when the Bible talks about the heart, it's not talking about that little mechanism in here. Okay? Goes kapook, kapook, kapook. When it goes kapook, you go kapook. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about the soul of man, the spirit of man, that part of man that responds to a holy God. Okay? So the only one who can restore the soul, turn back the desires, is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he is the good shepherd who gave his life. He is the great shepherd who lives tonight and intercedes. And he's the chief shepherd who's coming again to take his own unto himself. Third word. First one is possession. Second one is position. Third one is power. Power. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now listen. The one who is my shepherd, the one who possesses me and I possess him, the one who positions me to meet my every need, physical, material, emotional, and spiritual, has the power to lead me in right paths. See, sheep do not naturally go in right paths. But my Lord knows the way. And so all we need to do is what? Simply follow. So aren't you glad tonight we serve an all-powerful God? Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Immediately after he said that, what he said to the believer, to the child of God, to the disciples, and to you and me, get going. That's the original Greek. Get going. Go ye therefore. Teach all nations. Baptize them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end. So we have possession. We have position. We have power. Next, presence. His presence. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Here it is. For thou art with me. There it is. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they what? They comfort me. Okay? So aren't you glad tonight that the shepherd is present with the sheep? And aren't you glad the shepherd has said to the sheep, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There are three words in that verse I always love to point out. I believe I might have even mentioned them back on Sunday, but I'm not sure. Those three words are though, through, and thou. Look at it. Yea, though. That's a conjunction. I walk through. That's a preposition. Thou art with me. That's a pronoun. So we've had our English grammar lesson. Now let's take a look at the three words. Number one, we have the though of God's plan. the though of God's plan. And these are basically the three words that I shared at the memorial service on Tuesday. God's plan for Billy Spear was not the plan that Paula and Billy Spear had planned. 5 years of dementia. About nearly three and a half years ago, diagnosed with Lewy body dementia, which is the most rapid form, basically, of Alzheimer's. Not responding at all to anything in the last several months. Not knowing his own wife and son for well over a year, maybe a year and a half. One who ministered to thousands, Billy sang before two presidents. He sang for President Reagan. He sang for President Gerald Ford. He ministered to so many. His recordings are still ministering. My wife and I had breakfast with a pastoring wife in North Carolina 3 weeks ago. And he said to me, I was just going through, he's had some real physical problems. And he said, last week I was just going through some real difficult times and a little discouraging. And he said, I laid down and I put in one of Billy Spear's CDs. And this guy's a singer himself. And he said, I know he can't respond to you. He knew we were going to go to see him. And he said, I know he can't respond, but he said, I want to tell you what, he ministered to my heart and to my life, okay? And his son, BJ, just recorded a CD as a memorial, a memory appreciation to his dad. And it's basically of many of the old hymns, and he entitled it, his title theme song is, Does Jesus Care? Does Jesus care when your heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? Oh, yeah, he cares. He cares. And by the way, I've always wanted to get on a CD recording, so I'm on BJ's. And got all the music listed, and then it says, Does Jesus Care by Wendell Calder. Actually, I took the last 8 or 9 minutes of the CD and just shared, basically, Does Jesus Care? Yes, he does. The though of God's plan. Folks, listen tonight. You and I don't know all that's involved in God's plan for us. We better be thankful we do not. Sometimes we say, boy, if I just knew what God had planned for me, you'd better be thankful you don't. You know why? You might not be ready to handle it tonight. But when the time comes, if I'm walking in the will of God in fellowship with Him, He'll give me sufficient grace. Do you know the wonderful thing about God's plan? It's not only personal, it's perfect. Romans 12:2 says it's perfect. How are you going to mess up on perfection? Secondly, we not only have the though of God's plan, we have the through of God's purpose. He leads me through the wilderness. He doesn't lead me halfway into the wilderness and then drop me. And we learn better in the wilderness experiences of life. We learn better in the school of affliction, difficulty, and hard knocks than we do many times in the pleasant, joyful, rejoicing times of life. And my God knows the way through the wilderness. Then thirdly, you not only have the though of His plan, the through of His purpose, you've now got the thou of His presence. Thou art with me. So whatever your trial or difficulty may be tonight, you can rejoice in the eternal presence of the eternal God. The Lord is my shepherd. Then would you notice, thy rod and thy staff, they scare me to death. Oh, that isn't what it says, is it? No. Thy rod and thy staff, they what? They comfort me. Now, the rod was used on the enemy. The staff was used on the sheep. So I need God's rod to guard me. I need God's staff to guide me. See, I need both guarding and guidance. I need the protecting hand of God. So that's why we have the next verse. So verse 1 is possession. Secondly is position. Thirdly is power. Fourthly is presence. Fifthly, protection. It says, He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Listen, folks, sheep have enemies. Christian, you and I have enemies. We face a threefold enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. You want one great scripture that deals with all three? Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10. Said, in time past you walked according to the course of this world, the prince that now worketh in the spirit of disobedience, prince of the power of the air. So you got the world, you got the devil. Said we all had our conversation in the lusts of the flesh. So there you've got the world, the flesh, and the devil. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So the Lord, who is my shepherd, you know what he does? He prepares for me a table in the presence of my enemies. Now, that's not like the family that had company for lunch, and they had so many, not everybody could sit around the dining room table. So their little girl had her own little kitchen set, so they set up her table and a chair for her at her own little table right next to them, and they asked her if she would say the grace and thank the Lord for the food. And so when they bowed to pray, she said, Lord, I want to thank you. Excuse me, I want to thank you for this table in the presence of mine enemies. Now, that was a little different than what it is here, okay? Now, what's it say? He prepares, you'll get it in a minute. He prepares, they get worse as the week goes along, folks. He prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. But then look at this part. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I want to spiritualize that. Oil in Scripture is a type of joy, and it's a type of the Holy Spirit. There is a ministry of the Holy Spirit of God in the life of the Christian that I believe is being sadly neglected. There's been so much false teaching on the Holy Spirit, we've sometimes failed to give proper teaching. I believe when I was saved, I was regenerated by the Holy Spirit. I believe I was permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I believe I was sealed with the Holy Spirit till the day he delivers the purchased possession on eternity's shore. I believe that I also was baptized and placed by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. I also believe that every day I need to be constantly, continuously filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. But there's a ministry of the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God upon a life that we're not hearing much about. I call it unction to function. We have an unction from the Holy One. One of the greatest needs that you have and I have in my life is for the I'm not talking about some superficial, artificial, stupid thing where you jump in the air and scream and holler and flip over and land on your head. I'm like the guy said, I don't care how high you jump, how many times you flip over, long as when you land, you walk right, talk right, and live right. I'm talking about a genuine anointing of the Holy Spirit of God upon a life to empower that life for service, for witness, and for ministry. Okay? And only as you and I don't want to ever stand behind this desk to proclaim this word without the anointing of the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit only anoints clean vessels. Vessels that are yielded to him. And would you notice something? He anoints my head with oil. What's the result? My cup runneth over. Do you know the little chorus, running over, running over? My cup's full and running over. Since the Lord saved me, I'm as happy as can be. For my cup's full and what? Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Listen, you might not have great talent, gifts, and abilities. You might not be able to preach, pray, sing, or yodel. But I'll tell you one thing each and every one of us can do, and that's overflow. You know what Coventry, Rhode Island, surrounding area in this nation, the world needs to see tonight? Those of us who name the name of Jesus Christ and can say, the Lord is my shepherd, they need to see the inflow become the outflow and the overflow of the anointing of the Spirit of God upon life. The Lord is my shepherd. Then the last verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word prospect. What a prospect. If you can say tonight, the Lord is my shepherd, here's your prospect. You have two sheepdogs. They're going to follow you down here all the days of your life. And those two sheepdogs, their names are goodness and mercy. Goodness is for my steps. Mercy is for my stumbles. We need both. So I'm so glad for the two sheepdogs of God's mercy and God's goodness, but I'm also excited for this one. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And when that young lady sang and went to the rafters with "We Shall Behold Him." And then his brother Billy sang, "What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see." And he's no longer saying, "What a day that'll be." He's saying, "What a day it now is." Present tense. Would you notice something? Okay. Would you notice this psalm opens the Lord? Would you notice this psalm closes the Lord forever? And between the Lord and the Lord forever, that's all I want. That's all I want. So what I did, I jotted down 12 blessings, I guess we could call them, that are mine, yours, if the Lord's your shepherd, 12 blessings that Psalm 23 presents that are ours because of our relationship with the shepherd. Listen to them. I have resources only he can give. I shall not want. Number two, I have rest only he can give to lie down in green pastures. Number three, I have refreshment only he can give beside the still waters. Number four, I have restoration only he can give. He restoreth my soul. Number five, I have righteousness only he can give in the paths of righteousness. Number six, I have release that only he will give. I shall fear no evil. Number seven, I have reality only he can give. Thou art with me. Number eight, I have reassurance only he can give. They comfort me. Number nine, I have rescue only he can give in the presence of mine enemies. Number 10, I have rejoicing only he can give. My cup runneth over. Number 11, I have relationship only he can give. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. And number 12, I have reward that only he can give. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. Folks, do you know the shepherd? The shepherd knows you. The Bible says the Lord knows them that are his. I remember one time years ago talking to a man, "Sir, do you know the Lord? Are you saved?" He said, "Only God himself knows." I said, "I know he knows. He'd like you to have a clue." The Lord knows them that are his. Not only that, he takes care of his own. And you know, it's easy to listen to this type of a message and rejoice in it and miss the point. The point is what? Out of a heart of appreciation in response to Almighty God for the blessings of the shepherd in my life, I just yield to the anointing of the Spirit of God for a life of witness, power, and testimony. That's all I want. Father,